Welcome to the PDP Podcast, brought to you by Professional Dairy Producers, dairy's professional development organization.
I don't know what it's like living in your house. I don't know what it's like working with you on the farm. I don't know what it's like spending time with you at all. But I will tell you this. If I did, I could put my fingers on what we do and what we say that created that impression, that created that experience. Because how I see me when I'm around you isn't your pheromones. You don't necessarily impact me by the scent you're giving off as much as what you do and what you say. And subsequently, myself, internally, my own psyche isn't impacted as much as the things that I do and say, the things that I think that have real influence on me. Have you ever noticed that there are some people in your life that when they walk into the room, the lights get brighter? You know, just having them around makes you feel a little bit more joyous. They don't necessarily have to do much. They don't have to say much. But boy, I sure do like having them around. Subsequently, if you're like me, you probably have a few of those people that are in your life where they walk into the room and the lights dim. I don't even know how you do that. It's kind of an amazing thing. But literally, you suck the energy out of the room just by walking into it. How do you do that? I think we have a massive impact on each other, on our psyche, on our health, on our mental health, and our physical health. I really, really do. And I think it's an important topic to bring up every once in a while. And so let's talk about it. I want to talk about being a very positive influence on myself and those around me by literally being an agent of joy. I want to spend a few minutes talking about joy, talking about the impact of joy on us physically, on us mentally, and how we might be a little bit more of an agent of joy, because I think we all need it these days. I think the world is loud, and it's not necessarily a good loud. I think we've all been through it these last couple of months, this last year or two. It's been a struggle, especially what we've just gone through. And you might have that personal experience where you've gone through personal things, or you've been facing challenges or struggles. And there is a commonality between all of us, and that is we need joy in our lives. And the more we can do it on purpose, the better. And I think right now, because our world is so loud, I like the phrase that we need to be a little bit louder. Our joy needs to be a little louder. Or the way I like to put it, the world is loud, so our only response is to love louder. Because that's where the hope is. That's where the potential of actually being catalysts to move things forward lies. The things that we do and the things that we say to have influence on ourselves and those around us. Hi, everybody, and welcome back. My name is Michael Hoffman, and I want to talk about being an agent of joy. Let's start off with an example. I don't know if you saw the movie. I love the movie, and I recommend that you rent it if you haven't seen it, or even rent it again. It's called Patch Adams, and it's a story that was acted through Robin Williams, who played Patch Adams. And it tells the story of Hunter Doherty, or Patch Adams, who was a doctor and founded the Gesundheit Institute in Illinois. It's a nonprofit, and Patch has become an activist and a doctor who believes that laughter and joy literally help save people. One of his famous phrases is, "You treat a disease, you win, you lose. You treat a person, I guarantee you, you'll win no matter what the outcome." And when I was watching this movie the other day, I was thinking of you guys, and I said, oh, I want to talk about this because I really believe in this. And in the movie, played by Robin Williams, he does an experiment as an early student of medicine about the impact of positivity, especially a smile, on people. And so he does a little study with his friends to mark the rate of response to a positive gesture, a joke, a smile, anything to get somebody to react. And I thought it was a really interesting scene because I've been studying this for a long time, working with people for the last 30 years on the power of culture and the power that we have on each other. And I really liked that experiment. So he started to, you know, walk down the street and say hi to people or to smile at somebody or to do a little funny gesture or even something that was shocking, you know, but some type of action that elicited a response, especially a smile, and how quick and what type of response they gave. And that really got me thinking, you know, our actions, our decisions on how we interact with each other are so within our control. The basically the outcome of that particular exercise that he does in the movie, and actually he did this in real life, was that a positive interaction with somebody has a much quicker response than a negative one. And I find that interesting. You know, we have several phrases that I use in helping organizations create culture. And one of my phrases is, we celebrate what we want to continue. Add joy to what we want people to do again. In other words, I will use joy as an instrument of influence to lock in the type of behaviors that we want to see again and again. I'll use joy in my feedback. I'll use joy in my responses to people. And what I find is that in having an attitude of positiveness as at least my go-to, I'm not a Pollyanna person, but in using joy as an instrument or a tool of influence has been very, very helpful in creating cultures, especially the ones that I've been involved in for a while, whether it's at the farm or whether it's in my family. We celebrate what we want to continue and we do it with joy. I've said this many times when it comes to culture, but it's about how I feel about me when I'm around you that has me trusting you. And if I want to build a culture where I feel a part of something larger than myself, where the people that are in this family, that are in this farm, that are working with me out in the field, know that I am for you, that has to be created. A culture where it's a joy to come to work, a culture where we're doing something larger than I can do myself, a culture where I am part of what's going on versus a victim of what's going on, has a lot to do with how I see me and my experience in being here. And I think joy has a lot to do with that. You know, joy is a very physical thing. There's a lot going on in your body when we feel joy. You know, that happy, buoyant emotion is a great feeling, whether it's brought on by a big event like a wedding or something cool like that, or maybe even something as simple as finding that perfect fruit at a farmer's market. You know what I mean? On an emotional level, we feel joy in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's tearful, euphoric, a deep sense of commitment. There's lots of ways of feeling joy. I am a crier. And I don't say that with great pride, but I've always been somebody who could feel so much joy that it would come out in tears. I'm the type of guy that laughs loud, but I also feel very deeply, especially like I knew it was happening when I was a kid because my mother would always watch me at game shows because when they won the big money, I would lose it. I mean, it made me so happy. I couldn't help it. I still am that way. I'm 61 years old now and I still cry on commercials. I've tried to stop it and I've just kind of given in and said, you know, my mom used to say she'd help me feel better because, you know, I've got five brothers and it wasn't easy to live like that growing up, I'll be honest with you. But my mother used to soften it up and she'd say, Michael, you are filled with so much joy that if you add a little bit more, it overflows in tears. My mom, she just would. My dad would shake his head. This guy, I don't get him. But joy can be expressed in lots of ways. But I will tell you, there's a lot going on physically when it comes to joy. On a scientific level, we feel joy in our neurotransmitters. Those are those tiny chemical messengers There's cells that transmit signals between neurons and our nerves, believe it or not. So we have our nerves, and there's a space between our nerves that's called a synapse. And neurotransmitters bring information from one nerve to another. It's these transmitters that are responsible for processing feelings and almost every other aspect of our body, from blood flow to digestion and everything else. We feel joy in our bodies because of the release of dopamine and serotonin. These are two types of neurotransmitters in the brain. These chemicals are awesome. Both of these chemicals are heavily associated with happiness. In fact, people with clinical depression often have lower levels of serotonin. So when something that you perceive as happy happens, your brain receives a signal to release these chemicals into your central nervous system, which consists of your brain and your spinal cord. This then causes reactions in other bodily systems. So at the very foundation of how our body works, joy impacts us on a chemical and physical level. Ever notice that when you feel especially happy, your face flushes or your heart races? Ooh, Mr. Beauregard, I do declare, you're giving me the vapors. This is because of the effect on your circulatory system. According to Diana Samuel, MD, an assistant professor of clinical psychiatry at Columbia University Medical Center, explains that the butterflies in your stomach, your facial expressions, even changes in your finger temperature, all these can depend on your emotions. The effects on the circulatory system can be present in different ways physically. Now, I know that joy isn't the only emotion that affects these things, but it certainly is one of the biggest. With the release of chemicals in your just in your brain that flood your body, everything reacts. It's absolutely marvelous. She goes on to say that your autonomic nervous system is the bodily response for all things that your body does without consciousness. All these things affect you, like breathing, digestion, the dilations of your pupil. And yes, it is also affected by joy and other emotions. However, for example, your breathing can pick up when you're doing something particularly fun, like riding a roller coaster, or slow down when you're participating in a more relaxing, pleasurable activity, like walking in the forest. It's well known that your pupils dilate for the arousal types of things, but they can also grow and shrink based on other emotional states too. The reason why I'm bringing this up is the big question looms. So which comes first, the emotion or the bodily response? And can I use activity to trick how I feel? She says it's hard to say which comes first because your feelings and your physiology are inextricably linked. She says, when something joyous happens, the emotional and physical response occurs right away because all these things are happening simultaneously in the body. But don't worry, it's normal to experience varying physical sensations and reactions to your happy emotions and to have different bodily responses than those around you. She says, you may literally get the urge to jump for joy while your friend or sibling is more the happy crying type. I wonder if she's thinking of me. So if you're wondering if you can actually trick your body into feeling happy, the answer is yes. Yes, you absolutely can. Dr. Samuel says that even just the simple act of smiling can help. Smiling can trick your brain by elevating your mood, lowering your heart rate, and reducing your stress. The smile doesn't have to be based on real emotions either, because faking it works just as much. I love that. Yes, we can change our mood by doing the things that are more positive, like smiling, like taking a walk, like getting outside and doing a little exercise, like spending some time with a person that's got a little positive energy. It's going to rub off on me. And that's really kind of where it lends to. Physiology, the way my emotions are directly connected to my physiology, is a very important point to drive home, that the choices that we make in choosing joy not only impacts us, but that can impact those around us. Because if I want to be in a better mood, I'm going to hang out with those that are in a better mood, because we impact each other. So I'd like you to think about your families in the upcoming days ahead. I want you to think about the gatherings you're going to be having, the people that you work with every day, those that are on the farm that you see on a regular basis, the clients that you're going to run into, the people at the coffee shop. Whenever you bump into a person, they're going to walk away from the experience with you with an impression. And that impression can be something of a little bit more impact than just, I spent time with you. It could be that I walk away with how I see me a little bit more positively. I want to give you some examples of working with some great people in the speaking world that I've just loved to hang out and just watch how they impact people. Now, their job is to break down walls and to build trust quickly in front of an audience. That's not an easy thing to do. And so over the years, I've kind of watched how they've incorporated the things that they do and they say into their lives just by hanging out with them. And I want to pass on a few to kind of pump your brain on what can I do today to be a little bit more joyous, not only for me, but for those that are spending time around me. I have a good friend named Christine Cash, and she's a great speaker. Look her up. And one of the things that she loves to do is whenever she's in a mood that she knows is not necessarily positive, and she knows she needs to change it up, and she calls it a secret mission. Let's say you're in the office or you're in your cubicle or you're in, you know, you're just by yourself for a while and you want to change it up and get your energy flowing. What she does is there's no agenda at all, but she wants to pretend she's on a secret mission. And so she grabs a book or a clipboard or something in her hand, and she gets up out of her chair and she walks around the office or her house with great purpose. Her gait is faster, it's larger, and so her pace is faster, I should say, and her gait's a little bit larger, and she has a smile on her face or maybe a smirk. And she walks like she's going somewhere. And inevitably, she walks by people that she's trying to get a rise out of. And it's almost inevitable that people will say, where are you going? What are you doing? What's up? There's something up. Because she's got a little more energy, puts a pep in her step, and she gets up and she just walks. And her goal is to, on a secret mission, is to grab as many people as she can to go with her. So if someone says, what are you doing? She'll tell them, be quiet. I'm on a secret mission. Just come with me. And she tries to get as many people to walk with her as possible. And then they have a good laugh. It's really it. That's all it is. It's just a little bit of joy. I actually love that. I've tried that myself, and it really does work, and people get a hoot out of it. It doesn't last long, but it sure does get the energy going in around me. Here's another good tip. I love when people take poster board or maybe a flip chart, and they put it on a door in the office, and they just title it something like Things Heard Around the Farm. Because you know when you're talking with people and somebody says something where you kind of go, oh, that's hilarious, or I can't believe that it came out of your mouth. You know, phrases that you just kind of go, that's a keeper. That should be a T-shirt. Well, I've seen it more than once, and I absolutely love it because it's a group participation thing where somebody puts a flip chart up that says things heard around the office or around the farm or around the house, and they just start to collect phrases, you know, phrases that you don't hear all the time, but make you laugh or make you go, what did you just say? Or, oh gosh, that should be on a T-shirt. And you just collect them and you let other people put them on the flip chart and you see what happens. I promise you, if you're the catalyst for this, it will grow. One of the things I heard or I read on a poster lately that I said, I am literally making that shirt, was somebody put in quotes, Lord, help me desire you as much as I desire these Doritos. I loved that. I absolutely loved that. Somebody put that up on the poster. They must have overheard it at lunch. I don't know, but I'm making a T-shirt out of that one because I totally get that. Lord, help me desire these Doritos, or help me desire you as much as I desire these Doritos. I love that. So start a poster. Things overheard on the forum. I love secret missions like dropping love notes on people's cubicles or in their office or in their lunchbox or on their car windshield that basically is just a word of affirmation or a word of love or joy that has nothing to do with nothing. And you know they'll find it one day. We have a lot of fun with this. This actually has become a thing with, it's become a thing with a couple of friends of mine where when I visit them in their office, they know to start looking because I have left things in their drawers underneath their paperwork, hidden in their desk somewhere, just notes. One of my favorites is I stole stuff. They know it's my handwriting. Or, you know, hey, good looking. I just want to let you know you are a sharp looking person. You know, just things that make somebody find it and smile. We do it back and forth now. Now it's become a thing, but it's got to be started by somebody. I saw this in a farm the other day where, you know, you have a break room and everybody tries to have lunch together, but it doesn't always happen. But sometimes people get a little possessive around food. And so in order to have a little fun with food possession, they have an entire shelf in the refrigerator. Yeah, yes, you can have your own food, and yes, people should respect that. But they have an entire shelf in the refrigerator that says, instead of, hey, this is my food, don't touch, they say, hey, this is the share shelf. I love that, the share shelf. And they're constantly bringing things to put on the share shelf that anybody can have at any time. I love that. I love that. What are you doing in your office to bring a little bit of joy? I love Friday funnies. You know, if we're going to have a meeting on Friday right before the weekend, we're going to start the meeting with a funny, whether it's a video or a comedy clip or a joke or maybe something they've seen that they want to share with everybody. But we're starting Friday off with Friday funnies. And so it becomes an assignment to bring a Friday funny, or somebody's responsible for starting the meeting off with a Friday funny. I love that. I love that tip. You know, I have a friend named Tim Gard, who's a really funny speaker, and he talks about humor in the workplace and things. And one of the things he does just to stay in a joyous state is he has a rubber chicken in his suitcase, and he leaves the feet hanging out the bag as if, you know, he didn't realize that his rubber chicken wasn't in all the way. He gets more comments about that rubber chicken from the person checking in at the desk, whether it's at the airport or at the hotel, or just people that stop him and go, sir, your chicken legs are hanging out, you know? But it just starts great conversations that are so fun and impactful. And all he does it is just for the joy. It's amazing on how much impact it's had on how people treat him a lot better. So those are some ideas to kind of get the pump going. What do you think? What are you going to do to be a little bit more joyous? So it impacts your pheromones, you know, your dopamine, your serotonin, that it impacts the way that you see yourself, the depression you may, you know, joy yourself out of depression, joy yourself out of a funk. It can happen. We work so hard. We need a little bit more joy. We need it. And I think what the world needs now is love, baby, sweet love. So let's be joy, and let's love a little louder until we get a chance to talk again. God bless. Talk to you soon.
Our thanks to Michael Hoffman of Igniting Performance for today's message on the PDP Weekly Podcast. For more on Michael, head to his website at ignitingperformance.com. And for archive podcasts and more on the professional dairy producers, head to pdpw.org. Until next time, have a great week.